This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour. No, second hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, not the final hour. I swear the show's still 3 hours long on a wonderful Monday. So here's what's going to happen. Just laying it out there for you. We're about to do Medal of Honor Monday. Then we'll deal with the latest Iran stuff, polling and things like that. Then we're going to get past all that, and we'll probably screw off a lot. Yeah, it'll get serious again from time to time, but one more heavy subject, and after that, it's all smooth sailing. You right? All right. Before we get to heavy, let's get to something amazing. In 1945 in Germany, not that it takes a historical genius to know this, but Hitler was being surrounded on all sides. He was being sandwiched. He was Lindsey Graham. You know what? No, we're not going to do that. He was the peanut butter, and the Soviets and the Americans were the bread. I say Americans, allies. You know, we had allies that were helping us, the Brits and whatnot. But it was primarily an American-led effort. Not at all to put down the efforts of the allies. Canadians were awesome and things like that. But allies were sandwiching him in. He was losing ground on all sides in 1945. Now, as in all things, and we've had this talk before, that's when you're the most dangerous, when you have nothing left to lose. Hitler is watching his armies go the wrong direction, backwards. He is watching his dreams of, you know, a Germany that basically rules the world. Those dreams are gone now. And now all you have is the hope that you can do enough damage to the other side that the other side finally determines, it's not worth it to wipe them out completely. Let's stop and leave them with a little something. If you were in Germany, if you were in German leadership, that was the best you could hope for at this point. So to that end, you need to bleed them as much as you can possibly bleed them in order to get them to say, uncle. All right. That brings us to this battle. This battle doesn't say it, I don't believe, in the actual citation, but this battle was called the Battle of Nuremberg. Most people know the name Nuremberg because of the Nuremberg trials that took place afterwards. You know, Nazi guys put on trial, slaughtering all the Jews, all the horrible crap Nazis did. But Nuremberg was famous before that. Nuremberg was a town that Hitler wanted to hold at any cost. In fact, Hitler had ordered them to blow up the water treatment stuff, the power. Hitler had ordered them, you dig in here, and you don't give up this town at all. So the Allies have to take it. It was at a critical place that the Allies had to have. You couldn't just bypass it and let it go. It was a 4 or 5 day battle, I believe. And someone wrote an email with this recommendation. Jesse, I'd like to nominate Joseph Merrill for Medal of Honor Monday. I listen most Mondays, but I might have missed a segment honoring Private Merrill. We would visit St. Peter's Cemetery with my dad to visit relatives' graves, and we would stop at a grave of Private Merrill. Dad was a World War II veteran of the Army Air Corps, and he would say Private Merrill was extremely brave. He was our neighbor in Staten Island, New York, and that's right. He was born in 1926 in Staten Island, New York. Fast forward to April 18th, 1945, and Joseph Frederick Merrill, U.S. Army, he was 19 at the time. Ooh, boy. He woke up that day and chose violence.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
He made a gallant one-man attack against vastly superior enemy forces near Low Germany. his unit attempting a quick conquest of a hostile hill position that would open the route to Nuremberg before the enemy could organize his defense of that city, was pinned down by brutal fire from rifles, machine pistols, and two heavy machine guns. Entirely on his own initiative, Private Merrill began a single-handed assault. He ran 100 yards through concentrated fire, barely escaping death at each stride, and at point-blank range engaged four German machine pistolmen with his rifle, killing all of them with their bullets ripped while their bullets ripped his uniform. As he started forward again, his rifle was smashed by a sniper's bullet, leaving him armed only with three grenades. He did not hesitate. He zigzagged 200 yards through a hail of bullets to within 10 yards of the first machine gun, where he hurled two grenades and then rushed the position ready to fight with his bare hands if necessary. In the emplacement, he seized a Luger pistol and killed what Germans had survived the grenade blast. Rearmed, he crawled forward toward the second machine gun located 30 yards away, killing four Germans in camouflage foxholes on the way, but himself receiving a critical wound to the abdomen. And yet he went on, staggering, bleeding, disregarding bullets which tore through the folds of his clothing and glanced off his helmet. He threw his last grenade into the machine gun nest and stumbled on to wipe out the crew. He had completed this self-appointed task when a machine pistol burst killed him instantly. In this spectacular one-man attack, Private Merrill killed six Germans in the first machine gun emplacement, seven in the next, and an additional 10 infantrymen who were astride his path to the weapons which would have decimated his unit had he not assumed the burden of the assault and stormed the enemy positions with utter fearlessness, intrepidity of the highest order, and a willingness to sacrifice his own life so that his comrades could go on to victory. That is quite a story. And of course, he gave his life for his country. You know, what's crazy about that, I talked about how Hitler, the Germans, they were up against the wall, and so they were fighting extra fierce at this point in time, trying to salvage anything they possibly could. But Private Merrill was killed 6 months before the war ended. And it seems almost uniquely tragic, doesn't it? Of six more months, and he would have gone home. I'm sure found a dime, married her, made a bunch of babies. They probably would have grown up right and whatnot, but that's how it goes, especially towards the end. That's how it goes. At the end, when you're trying to close out a war against a determined foe, he will take some of you with him when he goes. It's insanely sad. You see this in every single war. World War I is famous for this too. While they're sitting down at the negotiating table, essentially crossing the T's and dotting the I's. Okay, so I'll get that, and you'll get this, and a little bit of year. And people are still out there dying for nothing because you can't hit pause on it. War is a terrible, terrible thing. It is. Now, it obviously brings out some of the best of us. It does. People like Private Merrill, but man, ugly, unfair, the way life can be sometimes. But still, that's an amazing story. All right. Now, as promised, we are going to get through this next little ugly portion. Probably about as ugly as the first hour. We're going to get through this next little ugly portion, and then I will do emails, and we'll screw off, and we'll make fun of AOC. And look, we even have to talk about this murderer. Well, he didn't have any limbs, but apparently he killed somebody. We're going to get to all that, but before we get to that, we have to go heavy. It's time to go Whoopi Goldberg. Next.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, wonderful, absolutely wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Emails like this one. Lady has her boy away from home. Jesse, thank you for the way you're handling the Iran war. You're about the only person I can listen to without getting mad. Thank you for stating the truth without attacking. Thank you for bringing up President Trump's COVID response. I want to trust him, but memories of 2020 hit me hard this week. Thank you for your prayers for our troops and even for talking about your time in the Marines. It makes my Marine not feel so far away. May God bless and keep you and your family. Please pray for that lady and her young Marine and all of our troops who are over there. Remember, we've already lost 13. 13. Real people are dying, right? And no matter what you think, you're all about this whole thing. You hate it. This is ridiculous. People are over there dying, and the people dying signed up to serve this country. Keep them and their families in your prayers. I didn't know till I got home that my parents, who do not stay up late, used to stay up until the wee hours of the night watching the news for a glimpse of me to see if I was alive. That's what it's like to be a parent or a wife or a husband right now with your loved one in harm's way, all right? Now, something happened over the weekend. Now, to recap, we have to touch on something I touched on Friday that I'm going to keep touching on because we're going to keep running up against it for a while. How long? I don't know. It might end tomorrow, but we're going to keep running up against this for a while. In the Iran war, Israel is our ally. We are militarily aligned in fighting and coordinating with the Israelis, right? Now, historically in wars, allies do not always have the same end goal in mind. They may share a common enemy, so they are allies at the moment, but they don't always have the same end goal in mind. That brings us to where we are now. The United States of America and Israel do not have the same end goal in mind when it comes to Iran. What does Trump want? We'll focus on, we'll come, you know what? We'll come back to Trump. We'll go to Israel first because this is going to come back to us domestically. What does Israel want? Well, Israel has been threatened with complete annihilation by Iran for every day of my 44 years on this planet, it seems like. Iran's always said, wipe them all out, wipe them all out, wipe them all out. And remember October 7th, that terrible Hamas raid. Well, Hamas is funded by Iran. So Israel's looking at this from this perspective. Stay with me here. From this perspective, Israel thinks this is our best and probably our last shot at completely wiping out the jihadi regime who wants to wipe us out. Now, best. Why is it their best shot? Because we're here. The United States of America, our military, is so superior to all other militaries technologically and everything else that for Israel, if you ever wanted to go take out Iran, it's a dream for Israel to have the American military doing most of the taking out. Not that the Israeli military isn't doing operations. They are, but we all know who's carrying the brunt of this work. It's the United States of America, bigger, badder military in every possible way. That's the best shot. Now let's discuss why Israel, I believe, thinks this is their last shot. And let me pause before I go on. Remember, as always, if anything I say offends you, I don't care. You can email in, you can change the channel, you can call my boss and tell them all to fire me. None of those things bother me at all. Your offense is not currency for me. I'm telling you how it is. Sit there and take it or turn it off or whine about it. It means nothing to me at all. Okay? Israel thinks this is their best shot to remove Iran. They also believe it's their last shot, and they're probably correct about that. Why their last shot? Why would I say such a thing? Is Israel going away? No, of course not. They're a modern country, modern military. Israel's doing quite well. No worries there. The mood in the United States of America as it pertains to Israel is changing rapidly. In what way? Well, pause on Israel for a moment. Do you know, and I've told you this before, when it comes to radio ratings, you ever heard about ratings? Oh, his ratings are high, his ratings are low, his ratings are this, radio that. Well, I never really care about that. I never focus on that. I just do a show. If you like it, great. If you not, don't, that's fine. But once a month, I have to have a meeting with the Premier Network's ratings guy. He's a super cool guy, by the way. His name's Peter. I don't want to give out his last name. Really cool guy. I mean, cool as can be. And he always has all the numbers on your ratings here and ratings there. That's his thing. That's his baby. No insult to it. But one thing I've always found fascinating was they will separate out your ratings by age. Did you know that? It's not just here are your ratings. It's here are your ratings amongst this group, and here are your ratings amongst that group. You want to know the most important ratings group you want? It's not 65 plus, although you love them. That's going to dominate most of your listenership. You want young people. 18 to 30, 18 to 35. We'll go on discuss that as it pertains to Israel and everything else in a moment. Before we discuss that, let's discuss this. Putting your money where your morals are. We just did Medal of Honor Monday. We talk about veterans, about heroes. Well, my cell phone company, Pure Talk, that's who they support. You ever heard of America's Warrior Partnership? They're out there preventing veteran suicide, getting veterans back on their feet. Why would Pure Talk partner with them? The other big companies are partnering with Planned Parenthood and Black Lives Matter. I don't understand. Because Pure Talk is led by a Vietnam veteran who's seen the worst, been through the worst, and has dedicated the rest of his life to serving the people who serve this country. Pure Talk even hires Americans, and they'll save you money. Dial pound 250 and say Jesse Kelly to switch to Pure Talk. Pound 250, say Jesse Kelly. You'll save money and you'll feel good about it. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Monday. It's been amazing. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. We're about to touch on domestically Trump's poll numbers, Lindsey Graham, before we get to emails and other things. This is Iran. It's piggybacking off what we talked about Friday, how allies with a common enemy, it's a very common thing. But allies with a common enemy who fight a war but have different end goals in mind, that's also a very common thing. That's not new. It's not unique to today. We'll get to America, to Trump, and everything else in a moment. We're focusing on Israel for the time being. As I said before we went in, I believe from everything I've read and from friends I've talked to, I think that Israel thinks, probably correctly, that this is their best and last shot at taking out the Iranian regime completely. Completely wiping out the mullahs, changing everything over in that country. I already described why it's the best shot because America's behind them. Why the last shot? I brought up radio ratings going into that. But this applies to more than radio. It's television. It's everything. You know who you want? If you're in show business, if you will, for lack of a better way to put it. Baseball season's about to start. You know, baseball fans wants 20, or baseball, Major League Baseball, they want 20-year-old fans more than 65-year-old fans. Well, why? 65-year-old fans are retired. got disposable income. They're going to show up to the game. They're going to buy a $25 margarita and a hot dog. They're going to cheer on the team. They'll buy a jersey. That 20-year-old, he's working a minimum wage job. Why do you care about him? Because the 20-year-old, if you get him hooked in now, he'll be at that baseball game with the margarita and the jersey and everything else for the next 60 years of his life spending money. He is your future. The 65-year-old at the game is your present. The 20-year-old is your future. That's life, right? Now let's talk about American politics, because Israel is well acquainted with American politics. They rely and have relied so much on us to move forward as a country. In American politics, here's the reality of it. With the older voter today, Democrats hate Israel. They just hate them. Sorry, they hate that. Well, it's just Jews. They hate the Jews. It's that Muslim culture has taken over the Democrat Party. They hate Israel. They hate the Jews. If you're a Jewish person and you vote Democrat, you're a friggin' moron. Sorry. Republicans, older Republicans, establishment Republicans, basically all of our senators and Trump and the rest of them, love Israel and will brag about how much they love Israel to no end. So older Democrats, well, older and younger Democrats all hate Israel and hate the Jews. Older Republicans love Israel. But as you get younger, and all the numbers in our society add this up, and believe me, Israel knows all these numbers. As you get younger, the numbers become remarkably consistent. Younger people, the next generation, do not care about Israel at all. Younger Democrats hate them because that's just how they are. Younger Republicans don't care about them. They don't want to hear about it. Even if they're not, you know, the hate all the Jew thing, they don't care about it. They don't want to hear about Israel. They're not interested in Israel. It's not in their interest at all. Now, I'll come back to the reason for that in a minute when we get to Trump. But Israel knows all those numbers. They know every one of those numbers. So if you're Israel, you know this. If Democrats come back to power, they're never going to side with you for anything. Joe Biden was building landing piers in Gaza last time he was elected. If Democrats come back to power, you're completely screwed if you're Israel. But future Republicans, they're not going to exactly back you up either. Donald Trump in the year 2026 remains your best shot and probably your last shot at the complete removal of the Iranian regime. And Israel is acting like it. This is our last shot. If we want to be rid of this country, because Israel isn't near big or strong enough to do that on their own, if we want to be rid of this country completely, we have to do it with America. And after this, we probably won't ever get that opportunity with America. This is our shot. Period. You have to get that when you understand the politics of what's going on right now moving forward. Now, that's Israel. Set them aside. Let's talk about us. Here's some headlines for you. Electric bills are becoming a midterm problem neither party can ignore. Here's another thing. Americans feel it's important to stop Iran's nuclear program, ensure the Iranian people are free, and that it would be unacceptable to leave the Iranian regime in power at the end of this war. But it's also important to end the conflict as fast as possible. They pulled that question by dates. Basically, the American people have said, if we can get this wrapped up in days or a couple weeks, great. If not, support for the war drops off completely. The American people want it done. They don't like Iran, but they need it done now. Quickly. Get us out. Now. Here's another poll. Never mind. I already had the one I just described. What's the approval for this Iranian action? Well, great news. If it can be done in days or weeks, the approval is at 75%. Did you know that? Not bad. What about when it stretches to months? Yeah, 42%. How about years? 12%. Donald Trump can read poll numbers too. The same way you can, the same way I can, the same way Israel can. Donald Trump, as I've told you from the beginning, Donald Trump knows he has to find an off-ramp. He has to. Politically, he has to. Do you know, speaking of poll numbers, do you know the percentage of independents? Remember, independents decide elections. You do not and I do not. Did you know the percentage of independents who say Donald Trump is focusing too much on foreign issues over domestic issues? You know what that percentage is? 66%. 66%. Two-thirds of independents think Donald Trump is worried about overseas and not at home. Electric bills are becoming a midterm problem. Headline. We have a problem. A problem I believe we can work out. And a problem, honestly, I think Donald Trump can work out because he's good at this stuff. The problem is the end goals of America and Trump for what's going on in Iran are not Israel's end goals. They are simply not. And that's the nitty-gritty facts of it. Donald Trump and the nuclear program and the this and that. And he's already, look, he already came out today. He said, we're in negotiations.
We're looking for all of the things that we've been talking about. We want to see no nuclear bomb, no nuclear weapon, not even close to it. Low key in the missiles. We want to see peace in the Middle East. We want the nuclear dust. We're going to want that. And I think we're going to get that.
Uranium?
We've agreed to that. Yeah, we've agreed to that.
You want the enriched uranium before you can end this.
And we want no enrichment, but we also want the enriched uranium.
Donald Trump came out today. He came out this morning. He said, hey, we've been in talks with Iran. Good talks. You would call the talks perfect. We've been in talks with Iran. Iran came out and said, we haven't had any talks with them at all. He's lying. Okay, let's talk about that thing. Then we'll get on to emails. Next.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So to finish this up, why did you wake up this morning and Trump said, hey, we're having great talks with Iran. We're already in agreement on a lot of things. The talks were perfect. The Iran's going great. And then Iran came out and said, no, we're not. He's a friggin' liar. Well, in order to understand what happened today, we have to rewind and understand what happened this weekend. Strait of Hormuz, you already know about it. We're not going to keep recapping what it is. You already know the Iranians have essentially shut it down. They've got mines on the bed of the seafloor. It's a nightmare. Nightmare. Trump, and I don't know the thinking behind this. I don't know. I'm not going to say it was great. I'm not going to say it was bad. I don't know. I know he had a plan, I'm sure, but Trump came out on social media, and I believe it was in all capital letters, if I remember right. This was Saturday or Sunday. Trump came out on social media and said, Iran has 48 hours to open up this freaking Strait of Hormuz. And he made a threat. Remember how Trump has said, I don't want to touch the power plants and things like that in Iran. Why doesn't he want to touch the power plants? Well, a couple things. If you start wiping out power plants and water treatment plants, then civilians are going to die. That's one. And two, if you start doing that, it takes years to rebuild. It's more costly than you can imagine. It's you take that step, it's a big step, right? It's a big Rubicon that you're going to cross. So Trump comes out on social media and he says, you have 48 hours to open up this strait. And if you don't open up this strait, power plants are on, baby. It's freaking coming. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. Well, stock market opens up this morning because that was the last public statement Trump had made, right? Stock market opens up this morning because that was his public statement. Remember the power of the presidency. This brings it home. Over $1 trillion was lost in the stock market like that as soon as the stock market opened up. Because people thought Trump was going to start bombing the freaking power and that gas prices were going to go through the roof. Almost immediately, and I think it was in an hour. It might have been in 2 hours. I would have to go look at the exact timeline. Trump makes a public statement after we lost all that money in the market. Trump makes a public statement and says, we just had a talk with Iran. It could not have gone any better. I have decided we're not going to bomb the power stuff. I decided, I changed my mind because the talks went so well. Boop. Market goes right back up, regained everything. That's when Iran came out and said, Donald Trump's lying. We never talked at all. We're not having any talks with Donald Trump. He only said that because of the market. So the Iranians even pointed it out. I only laid all this out for you. I don't care what you think or what you believe in it or what I think or what I believe. I only wanted to make clear how, what's a great college boy word, Chris? Precarious our position is here. How about that, Chris? I read that this weekend. I knew I was going to use it on the air. This is Donald Trump's position. Donald Trump can't afford to do what Israel wants to do and what Israel wants to get us to do. Go complete scorched earth, carpet bomb, kill them all, let God sort them out so Israel can finally be rid of this demonic empire at their border. Donald Trump doesn't have that political freedom. He simply does not. And he knows he does not. We have lost independence. We have lost the younger generation, who I already pointed out, doesn't care about Israel at all. We can get them back. It's not like they're gone forever. I don't want to be too dramatic about it. It's not like they're gone forever. We can get them back. But if we are in Iran come November, oh my gosh, I think we might lose the United States Senate. That's how bad it is. That's how bad it would be. And Trump knows all this. Trump needs an off-ramp. Now, there are questions that I can't answer and you can't answer and maybe Trump can't answer. An off-ramp. Is it available? I don't know about you. I've been on the highway before and I've had to pee. I've needed an off-ramp too. I couldn't find one. Is an off-ramp available? And to make matters worse, Trump's best buddy, Lindsey Graham, can't stay off the news as we lose independents in droves who say we should focus domestically. This guy's on every Sunday talk show.
God bless the fallen.
But it's a difference when we talk about troops on the ground.
I trust the Marines, not that guy. Mm-hmm. I trust DOD. We got two Marine expeditionary units sailing to this island. We did Iwo Jima. We can do this. The Marines, my money is always on the Marines.
We did Iwo Jima? The United States of America was uniquely motivated for World War II after Pearl Harbor, and even then we lost over 6,000 Marines on Iwo Jima, and the presidential administration at that time was petrified because the public was tired and they didn't want to see body bags anymore. You got to get this guy off the television set. Yeah, that's right, Chris. 6,800 dead. 19,000 wounded. Gosh, I forgot about that. Chris just told me 19,000 wounded. You got to get Lindsey Graham off the television set. And we're going to have to figure out an end, whenever that is. Doesn't have to be tomorrow. I realize that. But you're going to have to figure out an end that works for both allies here. We are at cross purposes when it comes to an end goal. If Trump takes this as far as Israel wants to take this, Trump is going to get impeached and be removed from office probably after November. I wouldn't put it past them. That's not being dramatic. If we are still in Iran in November, that's how bad it will be here at home. We will lose the country to the communists if we continue with this. He knows this. But is there an off-ramp available now? I don't know. If there is, I trust he will find it. Let's do some other stuff, right? Emails will make fun of AOC, other stuff next hour. And again, reminder, if any of that offended you, don't care. You can email jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And also remember, you don't have to be stuck with crappy employees like I am. You can have something better. Have you ever looked through the glass and saw two people who make your life so much worse every single day? That's how I live. ZipRecruiter is here to find you the replacement for that soul-sucking employee who makes everything difficult for you. Or maybe you're looking for temporary positions, or maybe you're just expanding. ZipRecruiter will find you the right employee, the motivated employee, quickly. All you have to do is go to ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse, and that lets you try it for free. They will find you someone fast. 4 out of 5 employers find somebody good the first day. There's nothing holding you back. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Final hour, next.